Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to another episode of the Pet Psychic Radio Show with Laura Stinchfield, and I'm Aiku Sahara.
Hey, everybody. Welcome today.
Welcome, welcome. We have an exciting show today, packed with people and callers, and we'll see where it takes us.
Yeah, so tell us, like, what have you been up to this week, and anything going on with you and the world?
Sure, there's always something going on. I guess this week, I've just been noticing, because my house is pretty quiet now that, you know, I went from, like, a full house of animals in the last, you know, year or so to basically one cat now, so it's been pretty quiet here.
Mm.
And there's, you know, a little bit of sadness, but I think overall I'm kind of enjoying the quietness of the house, and the cleanliness with the no dog hair is really nice.
And you're thinking about adopting a poodle, right?
Oh, my God. I can't stop looking on petfinder.com. Like, every day I'm looking at all these dogs, and I want all of them. They're all great.
You know, we're going to be talking to some poodles later on in the show
that need
homes.
Oh, my God. I'm probably going to end the show getting a poodle or something.
Yeah, right.
I'm trying to stop myself. I'm trying to, you know, slow down and take at least a couple months to not have a dog.
That's hard to do. It's really hard to do. I didn't have a dog for, like, 2 months, like, 15 years ago. And it just felt so empty, even though I had cats.
I know.
Especially when you're, like, active with them and take them with you everywhere.
I know. I noticed I haven't been hiking because I don't have a dog to take hiking with me.
I know. It feels like at first, like, when my dogs got older and they couldn't trail run with me, it felt almost, like, dangerous to be in the woods without a dog. I felt naked and, like, vulnerable. I started to carry, like pepper spray and a knife.
That's so funny. I put pepper spray on my little hiking bag now.
I know. I mean, really, they are, like, they're good little protectors from, like, mountain lions and strange people. And
I know. It's so true. Well, what's been going on with you?
Well, our family got another dog.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. We got a little poodle who, he came with the name Kirk, but we're not sure if we're going to keep that name. So everyone wants to name him something that means wisdom. So we're trying to figure out what that name is. So if anyone listening has any ideas, please call in.
I just want to give them the call-in number, which is toll-free is 877-604-2372. That's 877-604-2372. You can also write us a message in the chat room that's open right now, and you can find that on the Blog Talk Radio page on the front. It has, like, a chat room section. So there is one called the Pet Psychic. So go over there and type us questions about your pet, or comment on, you know, suggestions for Laura's new poodle name.
Wisdom.
Wisdom.
Wisdom. That means wisdom. I wanted to call him Sparky after Charles Schulz, you know, the creator of the Peanuts.
Yeah.
Because he was, like, one of the first to put human attributes to an animal, like, and to give animals a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but everyone's like, Sparky, like, all the animals, they're like, I don't want to be called Sparky. And Maya from Heaven is like, Sparky, Mom, are you serious? They won't let me do it. I'm like, what do we do? And, like, they don't, like, I could so easily name him something. If I couldn't talk to them, I would so easily name him something that nobody liked.
Right, I know, right? That's really funny. I know, it gets more complicated for you because you can actually hear what they're saying.
It does. People think it's easier, but it isn't.
Yeah.
No, it is. It's easier.
Actually, I have a couple questions for you that I was thinking about earlier. And have you ever had a situation where you've like met with clients where a pet disclosed something to you that was either scandalous or like funny that, you know, you couldn't tell the client or you had to tell them, but it was something horrible or awkward?
Yes, like all the time.
Really?
Yeah. Like one time, this is like the worst, that this little Bichon said to me that I actually went to go and talk to the horse, and she was like, oh, and I just have my dog in the car, and he just seems like a little bit sad, but would you like ask him like why he's been sad? And he's like, I don't like the woman that dad's been having over at the house.
Oh, no.
And so, like, you know, I go to, like, oh, you know, do you have, like, a new assistant or, like, a new cleaning lady or something? And the woman's like, no. And the dog is like, yeah, she's like really rude to me. She doesn't want to pet, she won't pet me or anything. And the woman is like, we don't have any women coming over to the house. Well, it turns out that he was having an affair. The dog,
oh,
like, totally told on them. And they got divorced because of it.
Really?
Yeah. I know.
That is out of control. I can't believe that this dog created this divorce.
I know. And then they'll say things like, they tell on people, you know, if they, like, are hitting them or something. And so, but, you know, sometimes people, you know, I'm all for humane dog training, of course. But, you know, and I lived with Maya. My wolf dog was, like, really aggressive, especially when I first got her. She wasn't when she died, but when I first got her. And, like, I know that frustration level where people can hit, where they can get abusive, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But animals will say to me, like, what their people do. And it's really bad. Like, this one bloodhound, it was a girl, she told me that her dad hit her with a baseball bat for barking.
Mm-hmm.
And she had, like, this really annoying and incessant barking, but, oh, my gosh, there's no excuse, right, for hitting her with a baseball bat. And sometimes they, like, say things that are like that, but, you know, they're not that they're joking, but they're, like, they're making more out of a situation. But this one, like, I really was nervous. And so I said to the guy, you know, she says that you hit her with a baseball bat, and he totally fessed up to it. And he was like, yeah, she was barking, and I just wailed her. And I was like, I'm taking your dog. Can I take your dog? Like, you can't have her anymore. And I helped him find her another home.
And so but, in the end, it got resolved, and he was also okay with you finding it a new home.
I mean, yeah, he was hitting her with a baseball bat. That was probably, like, the worst that I'd... it was pretty bad.
Wow. That's
I know. So
horrible.
Sad. So sad. But, yeah, he just wanted – yeah, you know, at first he was, like, a little bit resistant because I think he had, like, a mental disorder too because he was – he, like, loved her and, like, would coddle her and, like would kiss her and, like, talk about her like she was so wonderful. And then on the other hand, he would do these, like – he would be this nasty to her. He was, like, all into, like, handguns. Like, he was kind of, like, a scary client. Every time I went over to his house, but, you know, here he has me. He's, like, on one, it's so hard to, sometimes it's hard to work with these people because, you know, on one respect, they're, like, total animal abusers. And on the other respect, they have this humane dog trainer animal communicator coming to the house. So it, like, doesn't really match.
Right. There's something in them that I guess maybe they're, you know, interested in getting the help, but they just don't know how to approach it.
Exactly. And, you know, Linda Tellington-Jones, when I was studying with her, she, like, developed, like, the Tellington touch. She taught me something that has really has been so beneficial to my career. She said, meet everyone where they're at, animals and people. And that has just been so amazing to me to, like, to really live by that, because we really do. Whenever we're in a position where we're trying to help the animals, the way we can best serve them is by meeting the people and the animals where they're at and then trying to help them from there. It's like,
right.
Like, it's so easy to, like, get in their face and say, you have no compassion, you're a, you know, call them all sorts of words, but that doesn't help the animal. It's like, mm-hmm. you have to kind of, like, explain to them that, like, this behavior that they've been doing is not right and that they need to change and these are the reasons why.
You're like a animal therapist.
I am.
Animal and family therapist. Like, instead of MFT, you're like AFT.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Awesome.
People have told me, I thought about it at one point, you know, going for animal or for people therapy, because I thought, God, this is, you know, people used to say to me, like, not only have you changed my relationship with my pet, but you've changed my relationship with my kids and my husband or my wife mm-hmm. and my kids, you know, because
wow.
it makes people think about, like, how are they communicating and, like, how are they, you know,
mm-hmm.
if are they communicating clearly and are they being heard?
That's awesome.
So,
that's so
yeah.
cool.
So cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we got a bunch of callers, so let's take a call totally unscreened. I don't know who's going to come up, so all listeners, get ready. It might be you. You're on the air. Who's this? Who are we? Hello?
Hello?
Pet Psychic. Hi. You're on the air.
Am I the one on the air?
You're the one on the air.
Okay, Brad, just to make sure, right?
Yeah. So,
okay.
So what's your name?
My name is Brad, and I'm in Ojai.
Oh, hi, Brad, in Ojai.
And I have two dogs, and one of my dogs, Sophie, about probably a couple months ago, she's about 9 years old, not a runaway, get-out kind of dog, but
mm-hmm.
she was out of the yard a couple of times because the gate was ajar and neighbors put her back in. Not too long after that, she started getting out, and it wouldn't have been too hard for her to because she never tried, so the yard wasn't overly secure.
Right.
It's now become an absolute obsession, and I cannot keep her in the yard.
Oh, no. Brad, do I know you and Sophie?
I don't think you do know.
Oh, no. Okay. Do you know that Sophie means wisdom?
Okay.
Sorry. That just was tying into my name search thing. And Brad also is from my hometown, for all those people that don't know that I'm from Ojai. So, Brad, tell me this. Like, what does Sophie look like?
She is a little white, scruffy terrier. Some people have said she kind of looks like a West Highland Terrier.
Okay. And
she's about 20 pounds.
And what do we want to ask her exactly? Do we want to ask her, like, why are you getting out? Or do you want to just tell her to...
Well, I need her not to do it because she's sometimes ended up by Highway 33. Sometimes she just wanders in front of the house. Sometimes she just sits on the hill. And I don't really understand why, you know, she's never, you can leave the gate open and she wouldn't leave. So I'm trying to understand why she's doing it and what I can do to stop it.
Okay, so let me get a hold of her and ask her what's going on. Okay, hold on while I get her. She says the reason why she's doing it is because she's getting bored and she'd like you to take you up the hill where there's the view.
She'd like to take me up the hill where there's the view?
Yeah, she wants you to take her up the hill where there's a view. Is that Shelf Road?
We used to live up in Skyline, the place that we lived before this, which is kind of across 33 from where we are now, on Barbara. And we've also lived up in Upper Ojai on a hill.
She says, I know that it's dangerous, but I'm really careful. And I've never been hit by a car. But that's still not okay, right? And do you feel like she's careful or no?
I don't. I feel like she is easily distracted. She's not good in, you know, noisy or busy situations. She gets
Okay. Let me tell her how. Like, what I'm going to tell her is that there's a lot, and like you all can say to animals too that are, have this similar situation, is that when you leave the yard, you can get into a lot of danger. And then you want to picture in your head, like, what all that danger is. And so you could picture her, like, getting hit by a car and, like, actually, like, kind of feel the pain in your body of her getting hit by a car. Or you could get stolen, which is somebody picking her up, putting her in the car, and taking her very far away from her people, and be her being scared and not being able to come back, or her getting injured and lost and not being able to find her way back, and how scary that would be. And then you can picture yourself, like, really sad. But then also picture yourself, but when you stay in the yard, you're really safe and we're really happy. And then picture her, like, in the yard, really, really safe. So I sent that to her, too. I said that. So let's see what she says about that. She said, "Oh, that sounds really scary, but one time I hurt my leg, and I have a high tolerance for pain. It didn't hurt that much." She's kind of arguing. Did she hurt her leg? Do you remember that?
She used to have where her her back leg would, you know, they would kind of pop out, like, because she has...
Oh, her luxated patella, yeah.
Yeah,
that
hasn't been in a really, really long time, but she used to have that happen.
Oh, maybe that's what she's talking about. I'll tell her it's worse than that if she gets hit by a car. And that she also, like, when they sort of, like, and some of you may know, like, your animals that sort of, like, you can kind of tell, like, if they're kind of spunky or sassy, like, if they have kind of, like, a sassy personality. You can tell them that, like, that there's a lot of things that happen in the world that they don't understand. And, like, there's a lot of wonderful things that can happen in their future. But if they're not conscious of what they're doing, there can be a lot of terrible things that they don't know about, too. And that she really needs to be conscious of that. You can tell she sort of has felt really safe with you, and that she doesn't really, she can't really imagine anything really terrible happening.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She said if she got stolen, she'd maybe run away. But she might get stolen and taken out of OI.
Right.
If you think it's important for me to stay in the yard, can you ask Dad to give me an outing in the morning?
And they normally have a dog door, and I just haven't been able to have that open now because of this problem.
Right, yeah. So I think she understands now, so you just want to keep reminding her and keep talking to her about it.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Thanks for calling in, Brad. We got to get to the next caller.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
So we got our one of our first callers, Paula, the guest caller. So we're going to get her on here.
Okay.
Hey, Paula.
Hello, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi,
Paula.
Very nice to meet you.
Good to meet you.
Great.
So, Paula, tell us your story, right? You are a foster, is that correct?
Correct. I foster for various rescue groups, dogs.
Oh, you do? How many rescue groups do you foster for?
Two or three.
Oh, wow. And
I do volunteer work at the shelters and... but anyway, I'm very active in volunteering for rescue dogs.
Right. And you have a dog named Cookie, right?
I sure do. I have Cookie, who I love to pieces. And we're getting... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And I'm getting ready to move her tomorrow to another place to stay. I've had her 10 months, and She's just not really growing where she's at now. She has some dog aggression issues which prevent her from interacting with my pack. And so she spends most of her time isolated. She's not allowed to mingle with the pack. And I've taken her a lot of dog training classes, and I'm moving her because I need something better for her to give her a better chance to help train her and hopefully find her forever home.
And where are you moving her to?
I'm moving her to Southern California, to the Santa Clarita area, from Rancho Cordova, which is up by Sacramento.
And is she going to a home?
She's going to a sort of boarding training facility.
Okay. Is it Sandy's place?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So what we're going to do, and so what I'm going to do is get a hold of her and tell her that when she's leaving tomorrow, right?
Right.
And so when you want to tell an animal the time frame, you want to picture the sun setting and then rising and then her leaving. So just so you know. And then so you want to tell her that she's going to be safe and that will she be able to see you again?
I hope so. The
okay.
main thing I want her to know is that she's not leaving because she's a bad dog.
Okay. Okay, hold on. Let me get Cookie. And while I talk to Cookie, why don't you explain to the listeners what Cookie looks like?
Cookie is, I think she's a Labrador mix. She has web feet. She loves the water. She's a good-sized dog, probably 80 pounds. She's mostly a light tan and white. Her face is white. She has gold eyes. She might have Bull Terrier in her, the way her face kind of looks, but she has these big stand-up ears.
She says that she knows that she's going because you've told her, so that's good that she's been understanding you, and that she says that she's really scared to go, and that you've been the only one that she feels that has really loved her, so it's really scary, but she trusts you, and she knows that that what you are doing for her, it must be the best thing. And she says that she wants to learn. I'm scared I'll never know her again. And I told her that what you could do is sometimes at nighttime, if you think about her or just any time during the day, if you a quiet time, you could think about her and talk to her in your mind, and she'll get it.
Okay. I'm a little concerned how she's going to be on the ride in the car on the way down.
She wants to know if you'll tell the new person to scratch her all over her body and on her belly.
I will. She likes that.
The ride might make me nervous.
Mm-hmm.
I might pant a lot.
Yeah.
And so we can tell her to lick and yawn and blink her eyes. And then for, like, dogs that have problems in cars, you want to tell them to look out into the distance if they're going to look out the window, because a lot of them look close and then everything's moving so fast they get dizzy.
Well, thank you so much, Paula, for calling in.
Absolutely. I just really wanted her to know she's not leaving because we think she's a bad dog and that we really do love her.
I know I'm not bad, she says.
Oh.
She treats me well.
Oh.
She's adorable. We're going to put her picture up on my website, which is thepetpsychic.com, if anyone is interested in adopting Cookie.
That'd
great.
Be great. That'd be
well,
great.
Thank you, Paula.
Thank you
so much.
Paula. She has, like, the most beautiful smile, this dog. You're going to die when you see this picture.
Oh,
she has, like, these, like, chestnut eyes and, like, these pink ears, and, like, she's so beautiful.
Awesome. So, yeah, go to thepetpsychic.com to check out those pictures. We'll be posting them shortly.
Yeah,
and
like one ear sticks up and the other one goes down.
It's not up there, right? Is it not up there yet?
It's not up there yet. Yeah, we'll
okay.
see.
Okay. We got Jenny. Is it Jenny and Matthew? Or I couldn't hear earlier. So, Jenny?
Yeah.
Okay,
Jenny
great.
And Matthew.
Hey there, guys.
Hello. How are you?
Great.
I faced
I Facebooked you earlier. We have a dog who's afraid of everything, including his own shadow, but especially of Matthew.
Mm. And he lives in your home with you?
Yes, he lives at the home with us.
Okay, and so what does the dog look like?
He's a small black and tan. He's half Jack Russell, half Cocker. So he's pretty black, little tan eyebrows and little tan feet.
And what's his name?
His name is Mason, and he's about 15 pounds, just adorable, but as I said, afraid of every leaf that blows by.
Oh, and so does he have a forever home with you? Is he going to stay with you? What's the story there?
We're trying. We've tried everything, you know, possible. We had a doggy psychologist come out. We've had him to a friend who was a search dog trainer, and it's just kind of gotten to the point where we really don't know what to do with him and why.
And is it because he's scared of Matthew? And does he bark at Matthew, or does he just kind of run away from Matthew?
Both.
Okay. You actually have a really common problem. Lots of times when people rescue dogs, sometimes the dog is scared of the male in the house. And it's from something that happened in their past. And dogs can have post-traumatic stress symptoms, just like humans can. And so there's a lot of things. And I'm going to talk to Nathan and tell him that that Matthew is safe. And that one of the main things I'll also tell him is that people body language and dog body language is different. Men are more intense with their body, and sometimes that's scary for dogs. And so one of the things that Matthew wants to think about when he's working with Nathan or when he's trying to interact with Nathan is not to look Nathan right in the eye, because eye contact is going to scare him. So if he looks at him, he can look in his eye and then avert his gaze or look at Nathan's chest. The other thing is bend with your knees, not with your torso, because in dog language, going over a dog is a threatening stance. So you want to bend with your knees, not with your torso. And then also, dogs don't greet each other square on. So meaning shoulder to shoulder, if you've noticed, they greet nose to rear. And so what's important for Matthew is to greet him with his shoulder to Nathan, not facing him straight on. And then, of course, lowering his, like making his voice maybe a little higher and a little softer. That will also help. But kind of just bear with it. Like sometimes it can take, I've seen it, you know, come around really fast. And then others I've seen, like with the really highly stressed dogs, it take like a year for the dog to let go of all that post-traumatic stress symptoms. But the main thing is not to take it personally, Matthew. It has nothing to do with you. It just has to do with that you're a man and your body language. Yeah, I know. It's, like, so hurtful. Like, so many people are just devastated because they're so sweet and they really want the animal to love them. And it's really hard not to take it personally. But don't take it personally. It has nothing to do with you. Yeah, I mean, when you have, like, a highly socialized dog and then they don't like someone, then you've got to take mental note of it. But if you have, like, a dog that's been a rescue and been saved and been abused and you don't really know its history, you can't take any of that personally. It could be, like, a smell. It could be your shampoo. It could be, you know, like, a certain color clothing that you wear. It could be, like, just a gesture that you do that could set off an old memory. Okay, hold on. Yeah, let me get Nathan and see what he says. He says that he likes Matthew's voice, but he gets scared of him walking towards him, and so maybe if he had his back towards him.
Okay.
He says he likes how Matthew thinks about him because he knows Matthew feels troubled.
Okay.
I had my neck strangled by a guy.
Oh.
He lifted me up and threw me.
Oh. That's bad.
I also had my legs pinched. But sometimes that's like an old dog training method to pinch the paws when they jump.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like old school. It would help me if Matthew whispered and gave me little pieces of bacon treats. Do you know what that is?
Yes, but they might fight over it.
Who, Matthew and Nathan?
Yeah, Matthew's British. He loves bacon.
That's funny. It was really good to know is that he really wants to work on it. And sometimes with these dogs, they'll talk to me and they sound way more confident than they actually are exhibiting. And that's sort of how Nathan feels. So I really think he'll come around. You just have to be really patient and listen to your body, watch your body language. Yeah. Keep us posted.
Yeah, keep us posted.
We're local, so I will.
Okay, great. Great.
Cool. Thank you, guys.
Okay, you guys take care. It's so hard for families like that.
I know.
It's
I know.
A hard thing. I knew this one man who it was like 3 years or something, and it took for the dog to like really come to. But he was like a saint. He would like walk the dog every day and everything. He was he had this fortitude. It was so sweet. And now, you know, they curl up on the couch together. They absolutely love each other.
Right. It takes time. The PTSD is a serious thing. I mean, it's serious for people. It's serious for animals. And it's just going to take time.
I know. And then, you know, I heard that it takes about 8 months for an animal that's rescued to get back to, like, their normal levels. And so sometimes what happens is, like, a dog will be okay, and then they'll start exhibiting these symptoms because what happens is the dog starts to feel safe in the home, and then all of a sudden their mind is able to process all that information. And so then all the PTSD symptoms start coming up. So it can be a while to, like, work through it all.
I know. Well, you know what? We have a question in our chat room from Mary Margaritaville. It says, what's wrong with my cat Frisky? He's very aggressive towards me. I feed, play with him, clean litter box, yet he loves my husband, and he's a little dog and follows him around to the bathroom, etc. Frisky is a white and gray long-haired domestic cat, about 14 pounds.
Okay. Okay. Hold up. Let's get Frisky. White and gray domestic cat, 14 pounds. Okay.
She said she also posted the photo on your Facebook wall.
Oh, she did. Maybe I'll go and see it. Oh, yeah, there he is. Oh, he's adorable. Oh, he's got a beautiful coat.
What's your Facebook page name?
Laura Stinchfield / Pet Psychic.
Okay.
Okay. Frisky cat. And so he's aggressive to her, right?
Yeah. Okay. Likes the husband, aggressive towards her.
Because she wants to take over the house. Why does she want to take over the house? She takes my dad away from me. I wonder, did she have him before?
Did who? Did Mary?
Did he have? Did he have
the husband?
Before? Yeah, the husband.
Oh. She said Frisky was a stray that I took in about 8 to 9 years ago.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Okay. I don't want her ever to ruffle my head. She probably doesn't. You know, she probably doesn't dare.
She says that he was a stray and the husband didn't want him, and she, you know, it sounds like she's the one who took him in, yet.
Let me explain that to him. He said, my mom is super intense, and me and my dad are quieter. She has a lot of power in the house.
Sounds like Frisky is just jealous.
It sounds like he's jealous, yeah. So, so I'm going to explain to him that it's good that there's a powerful woman in the house.
Yeah.
And that they can share. The best way to share is with me in the middle. He said, she saved me because I mind controlled her.
Oh my gosh, Frisky sounds like
that
such a funny character.
He sounds like the ruler of the house. That's hysterical.
You know what? She also wrote that Frisky is very vocal.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's the ruler of the house. I don't know what else to tell you, Mary.
I know, Frisky, honey, lick and yawn, blink your eyes, calm yourself.
Yeah.
And that it's nice to be communicative to everyone, to love everyone. It's your family. You have to love your family.
Yeah. Well, let's get to a caller before our guest.
Okay.
Lori, you're on the air. Are you there, Lori?
I am here. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Lori.
I posted a picture of my small dog. Ha ha. She's 120 pounds. I just posted her picture on your Facebook page.
Oh, cool.
Her name is Bella. She's a Great Pyrenees. And my question for you to ask her is, is that a face or what?
Yeah, she is adorable.
She's absolutely gorgeous. I mean,
she looks very serious.
Yeah, for once. I started working with a trainer a little while ago and then kind of wasn't sure if what she was suggesting was the right thing to do with her. But really what I want to know about Bella is, does she want to kill other dogs when she sees them, or does she just want to play? Does she have dog aggression? I know she has dominance issues.
Okay.
But I don't think, and I don't feel in my heart, nor does the trainer think that she's has aggression problems where she...
Okay, let's ask her. Do you want to kill another dog or do you want to play? Okay.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me get Bella. She's 13 months. Beautiful.
Well, now she's 2.5.
Oh, now she's 2.5. Okay, on this picture she was 13 months. Okay, hold on. Some dogs really make me nervous. I get unsettled when I'm around them. And I don't know how to be more confident. I'm scared when I'm around them, and I find myself moving my mouth. I don't really know what to do. So, she's sort of being reactive, and because she's frightened, because she doesn't really know what to do. And so have you guys been teaching her, like, what to do, and, like, what have you been teaching her?
Well, the funniest thing is I found a park, a huge park here in Newberry Park. It's not a dog park. It's a people park. Usually there's nobody there, and we'll go there, and I can take her off leash way at the other end.
Mm.
But sometimes the other dogs will come in the meantime, and, you know, she'll run. If she's off leash and the other dogs are off leash,
uh-huh,
she's perfectly fine.
Okay.
If
so.
She sees a dog on leash and she's on leash, she wants to kill him. Well, it appears she wants to kill him. So I don't get that either. Like, I
okay.
Know,
and if
we were there the other day, and two dogs were there, and one was a boxer and one was something else. It looked like a boxer, but it wasn't. And I yelled to the two gals. I said, don't leash them. And they go, oh, we're not going to.
Okay.
She laid down and even rolled over on her back.
Like, oh, okay.
In a submissive position.
Okay, that's submissive. Yeah. Okay, hold on. I feel like I can't move around as much. And I get really terrified.
When she's on leash.
When she's on leash. But a lot of times leash aggression can stem from the handler. And so what you want to do is watch your, I mean, it can be more than that, but you want to watch that when you see another dog, that you don't prepare for seeing another dog by wrapping the leash around your hand. Because what that does is it sends a message to her that something's wrong with the situation. And then also you want to make sure that that leash is always slack, because dogs have what we call calming signals, and that's body language that they use to calm themselves and communicate with other animals. And some of them are licking, yawning, blinking the eyes, moving the head, and turning around. And sometimes if we hold that leash tight, she's not able to do those calming signals because we're holding the leash too tight.
Okay.
So
the doctor said the exact same thing to me. We were walking.
Good.
And two golden retrievers were coming towards us, and I said, here goes. And Bella jumped on the other dogs.
Right.
And the doctor said to me, don't ever do that again.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that is, like, when we, and it's, I know what it's like to have an aggressive dog because I was there, and it takes a lot of training on your part to be able to think positively, because they pick up, especially when you're their person and their handler. Like, every little thing, like, if you see, Linda Tillington Jones used to tell me, catch the behavior before it happens. And that's like, so when you say, here it goes, instead of, you should have said, let's go, Bella, and taken her in the opposite way, get her a little bit farther back until you can collect yourself and she can be collected. So as soon as you sort of feel yourself going, uh-oh, it's going to happen, or if you see her mouth shutting or her body getting stiff or her starting to stare, that is when you need to be positive and think, okay, how can I change this image into what Bella needs to do? And she needs to lick and yawn and blink her eyes and get away at first from the situation so she can approach appropriately.
Is the gentle leader...
Is a great... No, the gentle...
Because, you know, she will rub her face on the grass, and when we get home, I take it off, and she rubs her nose on her bed.
Yeah, no, the gentle leader is an excellent tool, because you can teach her how to turn her head away with the gentle leader. You can teach her a look away with the gentle leader. That is exactly what she should be on.
But does she know that?
I'm going to tell her that, and then we're going to get to our next caller. So hold on. Okay, I tell her she's got to listen to you and her trainer.
All right. Perfect. Thank you so much, Laura.
Thank you, Lori. Thanks for your call.
She said it helps me when Mom turns her shoulder to where I want to look. That's a great tip right there. And that came from her.
Huh.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Good luck. Think positive.
All right, we got our guest caller, Annabelle.
Great.
Yeah. Hey, Annabelle.
Hello.
Hi, Annabelle. Thanks for
Hi.
Calling in.
You're so welcome.
So, Annabelle, tell us about your organization.
We are Cold Noses, Warm Hearts, nonprofit rescue group.
And what's the website for that?
coldnoses.org.
Okay.
There's only five of us, and we placed about 267 dogs last year.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Which I think is pretty amazing for
that
us.
Is.
That's a lot of dogs.
Yeah. And do you have mostly little dogs, or do you have big dogs and little dogs?
I am standard poodle rescue and papillon rescue. I mean, I was that before I had a nonprofit rescue group. So I always take standard poodles. But I have a Doberman right now who was taken away from owner special circumstances. Now the guy's in jail. So I have her looking for a home. But we mostly take small, little foofy dogs or dogs that nobody can afford. Like, I'm getting a Pomeranian today that has to have his leg amputated.
Oh.
So.
Poor little guy.
Yeah, it was an owner turn-in, and it broke his leg like 4 months ago, and they couldn't afford to do anything, and so they just left it broken. So,
who are we going to talk to today?
Who would you like to talk to?
So, we have photos of Smokey and Chico. And Smokey is a neutered male, two-year-old poodle.
Yes.
And on your website, it said he's outgoing, playful, affectionate, full of love and joy.
He is. He gets a little angry at the other dogs, especially around food, but he's not really a dog. I don't know if he doesn't like them. He was brought here because he, in the shelter, he went after the hand, but I'd go after the hand, too. You know, that plastic hand.
Yeah.
But he's wonderful, but he's not really a dog, so I don't know if he just, what's going on. Maybe you can ask him, what, does he not like other dogs? Does he only want to be the only dog?
Okay, let's ask him. And why don't you explain to our listeners why I ask him what exactly he looks like?
He's a gray mini poodle, adorable. He's pretty short right now because he was just matted, solid. Very, very loving guy. A little leggy, but not more than, less than 10 pounds. But, I mean, he'll be a great dog for somebody. I just don't know if he should be an only dog or if he really likes other dogs, but he's intimidated because we have so many or what.
And where did he come from? Where did
he came
you find
from
him?
The Santa Maria shelter.
Oh, wow. He says that he wants a home where people walk him a lot and where people like classical music.
And, okay. Classical music, okay.
And he said that hold on. Oh, he says he likes that. He would like a home with another dog, but like an apricot small dog. So I wonder if he lived with another poodle.
He possibly, you know, who knows? I mean, okay.
I like apricot females.
Yes, he is. He does like females. He just got neutered, so he's still in the little that mode, you know. So, okay.
I really want a home bad.
I know, and I feel so bad because he's very cute. I haven't had him that long. Now,
he says you pet him really nice.
Yeah, he's very sweet. Now, the other dog you were talking about, Chico.
Mm-hmm.
I have had him a long time, and I don't know why. He's adorable, and he's really young. I placed him, and the lady thought she should leave the front door open, so he almost got run over, so I took him back.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
I haven't been able to place him. He gets overlooked. And one thing you can ask him, like, when if I take him to dog fairs where there's a lot of people and dogs, he is crazy. He'll, like, act like he's going to snap at people and bark and jump. And I don't know, does he not like to be there? I mean, we can't take him anymore.
But he likes other dogs, and he's good with children.
He plays with
them
all the time, but when we're at dog adoption events and there's a lot of people and stuff around, he's just, we can't let him near people.
And where did Chico come from?
Owner turn in.
Okay.
Never been around other dogs.
I kind of want to stay with Annabelle. Is he living with you?
Yes.
Because she gives me good food and she cares about me.
But he'd be so much happier with someone else. I have so many dogs, you know,
of
my own.
And I have friends here. I know they all want to stay with you, huh?
I know, but they. But why does he act like that when we take him places?
Let me explain to him that you're trying to find him a home like you or better.
Better
when
than
you,
me.
When you take him, okay.
Sounds like he's just, maybe he's acting out because he knows he can just stay with you forever if he just acts
out.
Yeah,
but he can't.
Yeah.
I have 11 dogs of my own. And I'm just not the best home, you know. I mean,
yeah.
He deserves better than me because I have so many dogs of my own.
Yeah, you can't take in every
and
dog.
He's just so wonderful and gentle. And somebody did take him last week, and then she was allergic to him. I'm not sure why, but and she was just devastated because she loved him.
Yeah, he says that he would like a home with kids because he loves kids.
But see,
like maybe two kids, and they look like they're older, like 7 and 11.
But why does he go after them when we're at little dog fairs? Then says it scares the kids. He like barks and jumps at them.
Because I
want to
stay with Annabelle.
Well, that can't.
You
tell
can't
him
that
I'm just
that.
Not a good home.
Yeah.
He can find a much better home than me.
Right, and that you do, I would imagine, right, that you do all, like, home checks and...
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Right.
And that you really make sure that they find a good home, that you screen each home. So I'll tell him that you're screening the homes. You're not just going to give him to anyone.
No. I mean, he has been gone out twice, but he keeps coming back, and I don't know if that's affecting him, and I feel really bad. Because he's really cute.
He says, because I'm saying to them, bring me back. So it sounds like he's really trying to pick his home about. He's got to give it a longer time. He's got to, like, open up his mind and really think about that he can have a better home than he can even really imagine now. And he's got to be open to that future.
And you need to tell him that because tell him there's a much better home than me out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he could be just the only little prima donna and go places and have so much fun. With me, you know, I just have so many dogs. It's ridiculous.
And
can
if you want...
He says, can I have a harness on when he goes
he
out?
Has a, he usually does have a harness on.
Oh, good.
And if you want to take a look at these dogs and adopt them, are we going to have info on our website as well, or...
We will. We'll have info on thepetpsychic.com. And then also you can go to Annabelle's website, which is coldnoses.org. And there's lots of dogs on there, right, Annabelle, with their pictures?
Yep. We have 17 dogs.
And where are you located?
We're at 5758 Hollister Avenue in Goleta, inside my grooming shop at the Little Dog House.
All right. So this is Goleta, California.
Yes.
Yeah, and Annabelle, can you give your phone number, too?
805-964-2446.
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you guys very much. Put the
good vibes
out there for Chico, please.
Yeah,
thank you.
Keep telling Chico that to be open to a better future than he can imagine.
Okay.
Yeah. And Annabelle, thank you for everything that you do.
Okay.
Yeah. And a little plug for Annabelle's grooming shop. She has a little dog house in Goleta. It's a great dog grooming place.
Cool. What is that place called, do you know?
It's called the Little Dog House.
Oh, the Little Dog House. Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome that she gets all those dogs. I mean, that's a lot. What did she say, 250 or 275?
I know. That's really is.
Amazing what she does.
It really is. They're cute little guys on the website. Every single one of them was adorable.
I know. You're going to get me in trouble. I'm going to end up with, like...
Do you want me to ask Smokey anything for you?
Oh, is Smokey is the gray one.
Yeah, or Chico. Do you want Chico?
I want a standard poodle.
Oh, yeah. We should have asked Annabelle about that standard poodle that might come in.
Oh, my gosh. No.
We'll have her
I don't want to be tempted. They're going to all live at my house.
You don't want to be tempted. You want to adopt one. You're ready.
Oh, I know. I want to go quickly get to, we have a lot of callers on the line, and I just want to say thanks for your patience to everyone. But we have a couple questions in the chat room. And if you're interested in the chat room, you can go on the blogtalkradio.com, and on the front page, there'll be a live chat section for Pet Psychic Radio. There's one with Barbara. I don't know if you're still listening to us, but she has a cat named Charlie that chews the hair off her front legs.
Oh.
She's a 15-year-old tuxedo cat.
Oh, okay.
Says, why does Charlie chew the hair off her front legs?
Okay, hold on. Let's get Charlie. They do like an itching all the way down them.
Hmm. Maybe it's an allergy or something.
It hurts a lot. It's like a pain. Can you tell my mom I want wet food with a little water in it? That's an interesting request.
Hmm.
Maybe that's like gravy? Wet food.
Hmm.
And I want a softer pillow on the bed. I will say this about, like, the licking of the front paws. Like, hers feels kind of itchy, but she should run a blood panel because Makia, my cat, used to do that and still does it actually a little bit. And she didn't really seem to be sick or anything, but I took her in and ran a blood panel on her, and she was diabetic. So it could be like a symptom of something else. So I would, especially at 15, I'd run a blood panel.
Okay. She says, okay.
Oh, good.
Thank you. She's listening. Cool. Well, yeah, that's really important. Wait, what was the wheatgrass thing last week? Weren't we talking about wheatgrass juice?
Oh, yeah, that I was giving Stormy, my Aussie, and Joey, my cat, wheatgrass to help with their allergies and their... and so Joey was getting wheatgrass, like, on his actual rash and internally. So that's something that maybe you could do for her and see if it goes away, like put it on her actual arms.
All right.
Yeah.
Try that out and make sure to get that blood panel and check in with your doctor and make sure everything's cool with the blood panel.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we got some more callers on the line, and I just want to tell our callers to have the question that they want to ask in their mind. What is the thing, you know, if you want to explain to them what to do before they get
on? Oh, yeah, to think about the question that you want to ask your animal and ask your question to your animal before you get online with me so that your animal's ready, and you can tell your animal that they're going to be talking to a human that's going to reach them in their mind and hearts. So to listen.
And just give us your name and a description of what kind of pet you have. Oh, so actually we are running out of time. Oh, I didn't realize what time it was. It went by so quickly today. I'm so sorry, you guys who are on hold today. Give us a call. Maybe we can answer a couple extra questions in the chat room if people want to stay in the chat room after the show ends.
Okay.
And we can just answer just a couple questions there. So check us out in the chat room on blogtalkradio.com and check us out on Pet Psychic. What is it? ThePetPsychic.com.
Yes.
For more information.
And we're going to have a new Facebook page up, Pet Psychic Radio. That will be up in the next week or so.
Next week or so, yeah. So check us out.
Yeah.
Thank you for your patience for all of our callers. I'm so sorry we didn't get to you all. An hour is really short for all the calls that we get, and but we love your calls, so keep calling every week, and hopefully we can answer your questions. And if you have some emails, just email us at petpsychicradio@gmail.com, and we can try and answer them on the air next week.
Yeah, Great.
And we're on Thursday, 12 Pacific Standard Time, every Thursday.
Thanks for calling in, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. See you next week.
See you next week.